Good evening, this is Mark Lynch, and this is Inquiry. My guests tonight are Nick Capasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum, always a pleasure to talk to him, and Tom Skorowski, the City of Fitchburg's Director of Community and Economic Development. And we're going to be talking about the creative economy windfall in Fitchburg. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for having us.
And it's a double pleasure because this is about all the stuff that's going on in Fitchburg, which is such a great thing to be able to talk about. But before we start that, let's talk about some Fitchburg basics. How many residents are there in Fitchburg about?
About 40,000.
And what's the mean income? I know that's a tough question.
the mean income? I generally don't work in mean, but the median income is about...
I will tell you. $55,000, which is about $22,000 below the statewide average. And the mayor is Stephen Denali?
Denatali.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
What's great to be able to talk to you is that there seems to be a lot going on, particularly in the arts and the city. And I want to talk about the history of Fitchburg. Fitchburg, as most people have grown up here to know Fitchburg, is sort of like a former mill town. And you hardly, for people here in Worcester, they hardly ever went to Fitchburg, even though the Fitchburg Art Museum was there, until Nick came. And that really made it you purposely set your calendar out to go to Fitchburg, to go to the Fitchburg Art Museum. But Fitchburg used to be a very bustling town. What happened? Like after World War II, Nick, can you answer that?
Yeah.
Or Tom?
Go ahead, Nick.
Tom, you work for the city. You can tell the story.
Sure. I think what happened in Fitchburg is really a microcosm of what happened in a lot of gateway cities throughout the Commonwealth and a lot of, you know, post-industrial cities across the country. You know, we were a city founded on industry, primarily the paper mills. But, you know, we historically built stuff, and we were an important regional center in North Central Mass for manufacturing, for arts and culture historically. But just like anywhere else, when jobs started offshoring, the mills closed, and we were kind of left searching for a new identity. And so, you know, it, around the 1980s, and it really accelerated long after that into the 90s and the 2000s, when our kind of last big shoe to drop was right behind me here at City Hall. We had a GE factory that had closed down right around 2000 and took, you know, a lot of jobs with it. But it was also one of those situations where, you know, they employed tens of thousands once upon a time, and when they closed, it was closer to a few thousand. So the jobs were already leaving. That really hollowed out our downtown.
I want to talk to you about downtown, because one of the weirdest things, and I was researching this thanks to Nick, suddenly Main Street became like one pathway through. It wasn't a two-way street. So people were not encouraged to even stop on Main Street.
It was designed purposefully for that way, and which was an urban planning trend to convert roads from two-way traffic that work for people, that work for cars, to just kind of one-way highways. And it functioned that way regionally. The goal was to get people through downtown and out to points west or points east. And, we've worked to change that in recent years by creating a more pedestrian-friendly model, converting to two-way traffic and all that kind of. Going back to the basics of urban development downtown has really been our core focus.
And it's made a lot of changes. It's funny because there was a photograph, I think it was in, I forget what paper it was in, of the mayor like riding this old car down Main Street. Talk about that. That looked weird. I did not understand the old car part of it, but that was okay. That was to symbolize the fact that you're going to go back to two-way street again.
Yeah, so we had been working, in the planning efforts since the 1990s to convert us back to two-way traffic. We realized the error we made in the 60s, but it didn't come to fruition until just a few years back. And then ultimately, we spent a lot of time planning. COVID set us back a bit. But in June of this year, we finally made the conversion. We had a former city employee is a Model T enthusiast, and he had a couple old cars, and we just thought it'd be fitting way to usher in this this new era of going back to the way we used to do things.
Back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
That was now. I want to talk to Nick because you know it. I know that you know this, but it's always funny to compliment you on it. But you coming to the Fitchburg Art Museum changed the Fitchburg Art Museum so incredibly. Can you talk to me about when you came here? Did you know that you were going to have that kind of effect on the community?
Well, I one of the reasons that I was hired is because at the time, the trustees of the Fitchburg Art Museum decided that they wanted their museum to be less insular.
Okay.
Because, you know, the museum is one of the anchor institutions in the city.
Right.
What differentiates Fitchburg from almost all the gateway cities in Massachusetts, except for the largest ones, is that we have an accredited art museum in a state university. So we're the anchor institutions, and the trustees wanted the museum to work on behalf of the revitalization of the city of Fitchburg in partnership with other entities, most importantly, the city and the university, and that's what we've been doing.
That's a pretty unique statement to work on, because I dare say most art museums aren't intimately trying to work with the community, and I know you are.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that made the job really appealing to me.
Yeah.
You know, I get to do something kind of radically different with a museum. And this is what we've been doing this for almost 10 years now.
Jeez. And you keep increasing what you're doing too. I remember what you did during COVID. COVID affected cities like Fitchburg disproportionately worse than other major cities. Can you talk about that, Tom? Like, how was Fitchburg hit by COVID?
Yeah, I mean, I think COVID disproportionately impacted economically challenged communities. It disproportionately impacted communities of color. And, you know, certainly Fitchburg is an economically challenged community with a large percentage of folks representing communities of color. And, you know, ultimately, it exacerbated a lot of underlying social issues that existed in the city. And, you know, whether unemployment, public health characteristics on most COVID measures, we lagged behind the Commonwealth for quite some time. And, you know, at the same time, we did see a great deal of resilience in the community.
Absolutely.
We came together as a community and saw small business growth with our downtown partnership. We, you know, were able to take advantage of some opportunities through federal grants like the American Rescue Plan Act. And we're using resources like that to help kind of reshape and build back better, to use an old phrase. But, you know, we're looking now at how we can take this opportunity and grow and become a stronger downtown and a stronger city because of it.
Now, Nick, I know that the Fitchburg Art Museum, first of all, COVID hit the Fitchburg Art Museum, like all cultural institutions, really, really hard. But you also were working with the community. Talk to me about how you worked with the community during COVID.
Well, what we had to close the museum twice. Once when the governor made everybody close, and then later in 2020 and into early 2021, because the virus numbers in Fitchburg were just so high that I felt it was irresponsible to have a public accommodation.
Yeah.
And this is before vaccines. This is before everything. So what we decided to do is because we couldn't be a museum, you know, you couldn't come and see the shows. And, we decided to use our capacity to try to help the community. And we worked in concert with the city and the Fitchburg Public Schools to create a pandemic food relief program, which we ran from the museum on multiple Saturday mornings during that winter and the following winter. So people could come to the museum and they could pick up all manner of things, but mostly food, grocery store and restaurant gift cards, school supplies for the kids, warm winter clothing.
I don't remember hearing about any other art museums doing anything like that. Did you?
Well, some. I know that the ICA in Boston did food relief program
okay.
in East Boston. I know that the Peabody Essex Museum, they were, if I'm remembering this correctly, if you took out a membership during COVID, a certain percentage of the money went to a food bank.
Okay.
So, you know, some museums were doing that kind of work. Others were just not.
But I remember when we talked about this because we did a series of interviews during COVID about how the cultural institutions were doing in Central Mass. And I was struck by that as that being a real true commitment to the city of Fitchburg. And that was part of that whole partnership that you take very – a lot of people don't even realize that, you know, everybody's admiring all the contemporary art that comes in. People don't realize that that's a whole other part of your job, which is really I think it's something to admire. Now, Mass Development had three cities share a $1.6 million grant, and Fitchburg is one of those cities?
That's right.
Wow! So, Tom, tell me about that. Was that amazing to you or what?
Oh, it was. We were fortunate to get it. And that's another area where Nick's been a bit unconventional in – you know, helping to lead grant application processes for community development efforts. But Nick really, steered the ship on this one to help us receive this Creative Cities grant through Mass Development. And it was really our second phase of our partnership with Mass Development. We just wrapped up a TDI, Transformative Development Initiative partnership with Mass Development, which I know they've also had in Worcester and the Maine South neighborhood. And this we really saw as the logical extension of that effort, because the whole goal of our TDI partnership was to build an arts and culture district downtown. And the goal of this Creative Cities partnership, which is what they're calling it, is to really help cement that legacy, to help see projects
like
the Fitchburg Arts Community, the theater, and just on the ground programming and events taking place.
Well, when you say things like that, a lot of people are going like, well, that's just pie in the sky stuff. But this very definite plans already in the making of Nick, like what happened to that weird building that's right across the street from you?
Weird building across. Yes, there,
it was really funny. There's the Fitchburg Art Museum, and then there was that scary, spooky building across the street.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone who's visited knows the building. That's the former B.F. Brown Middle School, which has been closed for about a dozen years, and the art museum has been working in partnership with the city and a local community development corporation called New View Communities.
Yes.
And together we're transforming that big building plus two other adjacent historical former municipal abandoned buildings into a campus of 68 units of affordable artist live workspace.
Wow.
We've been working on this for 9 years, and this past spring we were notified by the Commonwealth's Department of Housing and Community Development that they awarded us the final $22 million to allow the project to proceed.
It was funny because
it's happening.
I remember you talking about this from the get-go.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for 9 years.
And I kept thinking, and every time I go to the Fitchburg Art Museum and I look across the street going, there's no way this is going to happen. That's like, I can't believe this is going to happen. And now it's freaking happening.
Yeah, it's happening. It's
my
happening.
God. That's Which incredible.
It's great. It's going to be a game changer for the museum.
And the city.
And the neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
There are so many exciting, there's so much spin-off value from this project. It's really exciting.
Now, Fitchburg State University is also taking up some property on Main Street, isn't it?
Yes.
Talk about that, Tom.
Actually, right across the street from our newly renovated City Hall building, when we took this risk to the tune of about $23.5 million to renovate our City Hall, this was really done in partnership with New View and the Art Museum to renovate the B.F. Brown School. And then across the street from where we are, with the university to redevelop the what we call the theater block, which is the theater building, seven storefronts,
yep,
and a second floor that's now being used as a video game design lab by the university. The university is in the midst of a multi-phase, $75+ million renovation effort. So that video game design lab is really the first phase that's already completed. The next phase is they're redeveloping the storefronts on the first floor. That's underway and will be done in the fall. And then the future phases will look at the addition of a black box theater and a 13.
Whoa. Okay, for people who don't understand, including myself, what is a black box theater?
Oh, I had to Google that one after a few meetings, so you're not alone. But
it sounds sort of sinister, Tom.
Right. It's basically just a big box.
Oh, okay.
That the university's performing arts program will use on a daily basis as a studio, as a classroom, to have smaller scale theater events.
Yep.
And so it'll be kind of a small scale complement to what will be taking place right next door in the 1300 seat performing arts theater. So it'll be more of an intimate scale performing arts venue.
Oh, cool. Now,
and, I hasten to add that the main jewel here is the renovation of what was in the 1920s. It was a historical 1600 seat vaudeville theater.
That's right.
You know, it was
this brings up an interesting point. There's a lot of interesting historical, beautiful historical buildings on Main Street. Are they going to be
architecture?
Yeah. Are they going to be able to be kept, at least the facades and the buildings are going to be able to be kept as they are for the most part?
I mean, certainly the facades, the interior.
Right.
I think everybody, if you've ever been inside this vaudeville era theater that closed in the 80s, you would like to see some work done on the inside. but it's utilizing historic tax credits for the renovation. And actually, in recent years, we've added three new historic districts to the downtown, which gives property owners and developers tools to redevelop buildings in a way that doesn't destroy the, as Nick alluded to, the historic architectural character we have in the city. So, you know, BF Brown is going to be done by those same guidelines.
Wow.
And as will the theater. So it's exciting.
You're listening to WISN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name is Mark Lynch. My guests tonight are, always a pleasure to talk to him, Nick Apasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum, and Tom Skoroski, the City of Fitchburg's Director of Community Development and Planning. And we've been talking about everything that's going on in the city, which is considerable. Tom, I have to ask you, are you really excited being in the position you are? Because you sort of have come in a good place.
Yes, I have. It's definitely a great place to be and to see all this work happening around us. And, you know, the things we've discussed thus far are really the tip of the iceberg. We've got, a new $15+ million rail trail connecting downtown Fitchburg and downtown Leominster.
We have
over 300.
Whoa. Slow down.
Yeah,
when do you think that I'm a big fan of rail trails. When do you think that's going to be finished?
So that the first phase is actually complete and usable by the general public, and it goes right up to 5th Street in Fitchburg. The second phase is going to start construction in about a year and a half, and that's really the big kahuna for the city. So that takes the rail trail over the railroad tracks, over the river, and ends right in our downtown.
Nice. Now, this brings up an interesting point about neighboring cities. Are they jealous of everything that's happening, or are you working with them?
Well,
I have to say, come on. It's like everything seems to be going on in Fitchburg.
Well, Leominster's got plenty going on for themselves as well, and certainly they've been a great partner with the Twin City Rail Trail.
Yeah.
I think
the rail trail is a great idea. That's a good way to connect two cities.
Absolutely, and we've always seen ourselves as the Twin Cities. It's always
been, cool.
We are sort of the core population center of North Central Mass.
Yep,
so I think we have twinning trajectories in that regard.
You're also, the city of Fitchburg is easily accessible from Worcester. You know, it really is a breeze to get up to Fitchburg. It's not that hard at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're ideally sort of situated. Now, I'm going to ask you a tough question. I've seen in articles written about everything that's going on. People talked about Richard Florida's book about how important arts communities are in revitalizing cities. But then he wrote a second book called about how gentrification can have a disastrous effect on cities. How are you going to deal with the? Is there always going to be room for people of lower income and middle income people in the city as it moves along?
Let me take this one. So the artist housing project that we're working on, our primary partner is the Community Development Corporation. Their mission is affordable housing.
Great. Excellent.
So they are the developer, but they are also going to retain ownership of the buildings and take the rents.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Which means that they won't try to wriggle out of the affordability covenants. They won't go condo. They won't do, you know, all these things that happen to, you know, these artist communities with the best intentions. You know, the market forces take over and they become tools for gentrification. But that can't happen here because of who's managing the property. And this is precisely why the museum, one of the reasons that the museum was so interested in this, it's going to be in perpetuity for the people for whom it was intended.
Wow.
People who
wow.
need affordable housing, who work in creative industries.
Fantastic.
And this is really one of the first projects at the state level that it's 100% deed restricted, 70% affordable, 30% workforce housing, artist preference housing. And so it's certainly one of many projects within the downtown where we have had large housing developments that are mm-hmm. at least mixed income, if not exclusively affordable housing. And, you know, it's certainly an important part of what we're doing. We actually have an inclusionary housing zoning district within our downtown that if you develop at least 20% affordable housing, you get additional benefits and reduced barriers to building housing. So we certainly see that as something that is a real shared vision between the Art Museum, Newview Communities, and our other partners to build more housing across the board with a particular focus on affordable and deed-restricted housing.
What about the public schools in Fitchburg? Is there ways that they're going to be able to benefit from this too?
Well, Nick, yeah. So the Art Museum has a very strong relationship with the Fitchburg Public Schools. And in fact, they're our primary education partner. We received an enormous amount of funding from a Boston area private foundation called the Cathedral Fund to develop programs in concert with the Fitchburg Public Schools. And what we're hoping to do when we have tenants in the building is to involve them in the programming for the kids.
That's amazing. Now, I know this is going to take time, though. People have to be somewhat patient. I know that the mayor sort of sounds like when I've read in interviews that he's impatient and he wants things to happen.
He's about everything.
Yeah, he wants things to happen yesterday. But it's going to take a couple of years. Here's another tough question. How did you get everybody on board for all this stuff?
Well, this is why it took 9 years.
Okay, then I understand that. That makes sense to me because I can't imagine. It must be like herding cats.
Well, at the beginning, it was a long process of education. At the very beginning, we had a city 11 people on the city council who had never heard the term creative economy.
Whoa.
They had never heard of the kind of urban truism about, you know, artists moving into derelict neighborhoods and you know, waving their magic art wands and turning them into desirable neighborhoods. This was all news to them. And so we had to spend a fair amount of time talking with city councilors individually. There was also a transition in the mayor's office, and when Mayor Di Natale came on, and he was far more focused on economic development than his predecessor, and he understood the value of a creative economy,
yep.
And he understood the important part. The important part is that creative economy is not the answer. It is not going to save the city all by itself. But it is a necessary spoke in the wheel
right,
of
right.
stimulating, because it's about livability, It's about the walkability of the downtown. It's about attracting and retaining quality workforce. And he gets that. So we've had strong support from him all along. And then, you know, and then it just takes a really long time to navigate all the different financial and bureaucratic structures and instruments that you have to go through, you know, to get from we have an abandoned school to we have a $36 million project that has been fully funded.
I know. And I think that's amazing. I again, having seen that building many times.
And, you know, when the pandemic hit and everything was so uncertain and the economy...
I know, of all the things to have happened, Nick.
Oh, please. Yes, but I told Mark Doan, the executive director of Newview Communities, I told him, I said, Mark, we've been working on this damn thing for 7 years, and if it takes another 7 years, that's what we're going to do because
Fantastic.
It's the right thing to do.
Wow. Wow. It was funny because in one of the articles that came out, I was reading about the guy who owns Strong Style Coffee. Is that that's on Main Street, right?
Yes.
And he seemed to be really upbeat. And he's having music and events in the place. And that sort of seems to be the spirit of what's happening.
Absolutely.
And
ownership's changed now. But Kim Jones, the owner of Strong Style Coffee, is certainly right there as part of our partnership. And actually, that's kind of the important thing, aside from just the sort of city council or municipal backing that we worked really hard to generate. We also have a lot of grassroots support and buy-in. So, you know, we just got that mass development grant to support the arts and the creative economy. And we had our kickoff meeting in New Bedford, which for folks in Fitchburg is quite the haul to drive down.
No kidding. For folks in Worcester, too. That's a long drive.
It is. And so we had a few different communities that were there, and the other communities brought like two or three people. And they needed to bring in more chairs for the Fitchburg Coalition.
Excellent.
And this was public-private nonprofit partners. We had
many
people there to sort.
We're going to have to end right here. We're out of time. My guests tonight have been Nick Capasso, director of the Fitchburg Art Museum. Always a pleasure to talk to him. And Tom Skwarowski, the City of Fitchburg's director of community development and planning. And we've been talking about everything that is going on in Fitchburg. Both of you, you know what we should do a year from today? Let's check back in.
Okay, I'm putting you in my calendar right now.
Yeah, seriously. And let's do updates as we go along, because I love what's happening there, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to this rail trail, Tom, so I'm going to hold you to it.
Yeah, let's take a bike ride soon.
You're listening to WICN 90.5 FM. This is Inquiry. My name's Mark Lynch. Good night.